While I'm doing this, maybe I can clarify something I said last week, which was, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains but a seed. And I went on to speak about how I believed it would be good if we actually passed something round and gave to the Lord openly. Hey, bear with me. Okay. First of all, I want to pray and thank God for his provision. Because the seed that I'm talking about is our finances. And if we look at a natural seed, if we take a small seed and we just lay it on the top of the ground, the chances are it won't grow. It'll stay just that one seed. And when we talk about finances, sometimes we get embarrassed about money. We don't like to hear about money because we associate it with some bigger ministries that are forcing us into giving. But the kingdom economy is what I'm talking about, is this. Let's be joyful givers. You won't hear me from the front or Jamie from the front or anyone else who's in leadership in this church. You will not hear us badgering you for finances. Because we are the hands and feet, we are the pockets of Christ, and we want us to be cheerful givers. So if you take the seed, whatever it is that you've agreed in your heart, and you plant it into the house that God has called you to be in, you plant it into that soil, it will produce a harvest. As we can see here, there's already a harvest being produced, but financially there will be a harvest. And what I don't want to do as a minister of the church is I don't want to deny you of a blessing. Because as you sow, you will reap. Because there's a thread that runs through the Bible. And it's sowing and reaping. So as a church minister, I do not want to rob you of a blessing. So the opportunity is given for you to give and give liberally as God directs you and guides you to do. So sow your seed into the field that God has called you. And if it's this field, then sow it into this field. If it's not, then sow it into the field that God has called you to sow into. So Lord, we thank you for your provision. And we pray that you will take this seed that has been sown and you will produce a harvest. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I touched very briefly on the fruit of the Spirit. I said, if a tree is made good, then its fruit will be good. If a tree is made bad, then the fruit will be bad. And the Bible's full of illustrations on trees. And I was speaking to a dear friend of mine. I won't look at her and I won't even mention her name, Joe. But she was talking to her son at the table and he said, "Mum, why was Andrew talking about trees?" And this got me to thinking about trees. When we look at trees, we sometimes do things back to front, because at Christmas we bring the trees into the house and we leave the hungry and the lonely outside. It's strange. Why do we talk about trees? Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." You know, and he prunes us so that we bear more fruit. So the Bible speaks about fruit of the Spirit, and we saw it there, fruit being peace and joy and patience and long-suffering. And we talked about gifts of the Spirit. It's the same Spirit that gives us gifts as gives us fruit. And for me, the fruit are the characteristics of the gift. And as I was praying about this, and as I was scribbling things down, I'd wake up in early hours of the morning and just write something on a pad, or I'd pull over on the side of the road and write something down. I just want to give you some thoughts, but my thoughts aren't really important. Because as we read scripture, it tells us it's active and it's living and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So if you take the scriptures that were read very eloquently for us, they will speak for themselves. But sometimes it's good to speak in parables, to speak in stories, because sometimes we understand them easier. So, when we think about gifts, some of the questions you may ask yourself is, what am I gifted for? You know, what has God given me? What is it I can do? Well, already today, I've seen illustrations of gifts. I've received these. Somebody took the time to stitch them together. That's a gift to us. We are a gift to Jesus through God. When we gave our lives to Christ, when we actually accepted him as Lord and Saviour, and if you haven't, you can, we became a gift to him. So we are a gift. So we don't have to worry about what the world says about us. As I was sharing last week about a story of the picture of the swan, we don't have to see ourselves as ugly ducklings. We see ourselves as swans, because we have been clothed in his righteousness. We don't have to conform to what the world says we have to conform to. Because we have been given to Christ through God. So through his death and his resurrection, through his blood that was poured out. We are a gift to him. And each one of us has a gift. Outside you'll see a sandwich board. And on that sandwich board is "Welcome to Grace Community Church." Community in action. The person who put that together gave us a gift. And they are a gift. When we look at, when we listen to me speaking on this, it's because there's an addition to our PA system. And the person who actually put his money in his pocket and bought that small PA system gave us a gift. And he is a gift to the economy of God. So we have gifts. And we don't have to wait for a platform ministry. We don't have to wait. When we serve one another from the hatch at the back, the people who serve us are a gift. And we should be a people that walk around rarely with a towel strapped to our waist, because Jesus came to wash feet. He was a servant. So gifts. If we want to manifest the character of God, the character of Christ, it's the fruit of the gifts that God has given us. And the fruit of the Spirit being patience and long-suffering. And I was looking at these things, and although I tend to digress a lot, and I haven't touched on a portion of what I wanted to say, because as we speak, some things become relevant, some things are magnified, some things aren't. As we were singing our songs today, as we was giving our praise and our worship today, I don't know about you, but we crossed over into another stage of our lives as a church. We crossed over into something. We crossed over into part of the promises that God has given us. Yes and amen. You know, he has promised never to leave us or forsake us. He has promised that he will not give us more than we can bear. So there's times that we walk through life and we say, "Lord, I can't bear this," because we need to be real. Because although we're a church, you know, the body of Christ here in Wimbersham, there are struggles that we go through. And Lord, we say, "What have you gifted me for? I can't do this." But the word of God says, yes and amen. "I will not give you more than you can bear." But there's a process. When God gives us a gift, when he calls us, we almost enter into an apprenticeship. I'll give you an illustration. David was anointed king. He was anointed king. The oil was poured on his head. He was anointed as king. But if you read the passage, it says he went back into the field. He started his apprenticeship. What happened was, here he is. He didn't go, "I'm going to be the king." He was obedient to what God said. He went back into the field where he could produce character. And what happened is, it's in the field is where he learned, and he fought the bear and he fought the lion. It's in the field where he communicated with God, where he learned the art of worship. Because when we read further on in the passages, Saul is being troubled by an evil spirit. And one of his servants says this. He says, "You know, what you need to do, Saul, is you need to find somebody who's skillful in playing an instrument. And when he plays, he will soothe you. I know a man of valor, a man of war, a man that God is with. His name's David, son of Jesse." You know, David had a reputation. He wasn't the king, but he had a reputation. Why? Because he was on this apprenticeship. Things went wrong in his life, and character was being produced in his life. When you look at the story of Joseph, those of you that know the story, I mean, I dressed appropriately because it's the coat of many colours. Joseph was given a gift of interpreting dreams. He went to his brother and he said, "You know, God has shown me this dream, or I've been shown a dream, and you're going to bow down before me." He didn't fully understand the gift at the time, but that was the start of his apprenticeship. Because what happened? He was flung into a pit. His brothers were jealous of him. He was slung into the pit. Not only was he slung into the pit, he was sold into slavery. It's the beginning of his apprenticeship. Not only was he sold into slavery, he was put in charge of Potiphar's house. Not only was he put in charge of his house, his wife accused him of rape. Not only was he accused of rape on this journey of apprenticeship, he was locked in a prison. And in the prison he met the king's baker and the king's cupbearer. And that's where his gifts started to manifest. Because as they started to share their dreams, the gift that God had given him right at the beginning was the gift of interpretation. And he interpreted the dreams. And the dreams came to fulfillment. And because of that, the cupbearer was put back into the house of the king. And at the right time, he shared with the king that he knew a man that could interpret his dreams. So Pharaoh called him into his presence, and he released him as the person second to himself to rule over the nation. He was on an apprenticeship. The gift was being manifested, but God was giving him character. And God was giving him character. And as his brothers came before him, and he revealed himself to them, he looked down at them with compassion. And he said, "Fear not. Those things happened because they were in fear of their lives. Those things happened because God put me on a journey. He put me into an apprenticeship. He gave me a gift. He produced character. Those things happened for such a time as this." And the character produces credibility. Because in our lives so often we have a gift. You know, you could be eloquent in speech, but if you have no character and you have no credibility, people won't listen to you. You know, as a church, we can say, we are Grace Community Church in Downham Market. At the moment, we meet together in Wimbledon. That's for anyone who's listening on the internet, so they know where we are. But if we have no credibility, people will say, they have a large congregation. They have a good-looking minister. The worship team's okay. But there's no credibility because they say they love us, but they don't. They say that they want to serve the community, but we don't see the evidence. So we need to be credible. Not just have character, not just have gift. And when I was looking through scriptures, God sent me to Romans. And if I can find where I put my Bible. It's behind you. I'll share something with you. Because the word is living and active. You know, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it really spoke to me. And I want to share it with you. Because so often we see ourselves less than God sees us. You know, we do ask the questions. And you know, in my life I've asked the questions many, many times. God, what's my gift? As I shared the story of David, I'll share my story a little bit. 15 years ago, God grabbed hold of me as a young sprog and he called me into his presence and I accepted the challenge. Now, Lord, be my saviour. Now, Lord, I can't live my life my way anymore. You know, you show me, help me. And in my frailty and in my humanness, I just trusted that he would. And by faith, he has sustained me. He has encouraged me. God called me for such a time as this, then, 15 years ago. And I thought, I've arrived. I thought, great, you know, my minister will encourage me and he'll see the gift in me. But I was on an apprenticeship. God was looking to see how I'm going to deal with the lonely and the lost. And when people actually offend me, how am I going to deal with that? Am I going to do what I used to do, which was, the Bible calls it a holy kiss. We call it headbutt. Am I going to give them a holy kiss, or am I going to stretch out the grace that God has stretched out to me? And that's a challenge, because there are times, and there has been times in my walk, that I've actually grabbed hold of people, and it's just because God is in me that I've let go. You know, so we're on an apprenticeship, and it's never easy. When God calls you, he will shape you, he will give you character, and he will give you credibility, because we need to be credible. I'm going to read from Romans 5. And just bear with me while I find my place. I actually purchased myself a large print Bible so that I could read. And I left it in someone else's car. So I've borrowed Susan's, and Susan's is micro small. So bear with me while I find my place. And I'll read to you. It's definitely the New Testament, yeah. Okay. I want to speak about the fruits of the Spirit and how we receive the fruits of the Spirit, how we can manifest the fruits of the Spirit. It talks about peace, it talks about joy, long-suffering, you know, patience, perseverance. How do we gain those things? What does the Bible mean when it talks about peace? What is this peace we're talking about? Is it peace and quiet? Or is it an inner peace? Is it joy where, you know, you have this fixed grin on your face, where you've got a coat hanger stuck in there? Or is there more to the joy that God is talking about? How do we manifest these gifts? How do we produce the characteristics of these gifts? How do we become credible when we manifest these gifts? I think it's summed up quite well myself in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the peace that God is talking about here is through justification in Christ Jesus. And the word justification is exactly what it says. You break it down, justified. And we're talking about sin, we're talking about falling short, we're talking about missing the mark, we're talking about not understanding who God is. And what this passage is saying to me is, through faith in Jesus, we have justification. And through that justification, we can have a peace. We can be at rest. Our minds don't have to worry. You know, we have a destination. We have a heaven that we are heading towards. We have a resting place for our souls. And when we're going through times of trouble, and we will go through times of trouble, we can have a peace. We can have an anchor that we can hold on to. And I believe that's the peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not just being in a quiet place. It's being in a quiet place throughout our whole bodies. It's having that peace, knowing that we've been justified through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with our God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have attained access by faith into His grace, in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Joy. You know, for me, I'm quite a happy person most of the time, unless you catch me on an off day. And I'm quite joyful. But there's times where I struggle with smiling, I struggle with things. But because God is on the inside of me, because I have been transformed from glory into glory, and I'm on this journey, I can have that inner peace and I can have that inner joy. Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because His rod and His staff is there to comfort me. There are times we're going to walk through. But this passage goes on. Very small print, but it still goes on. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. You know, if we want the characteristics of Christ, if we want to receive these fruits of the Spirit, you know, if we want to be credible, we have to walk through some suffer times. You know, suffering and persecution produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because we are led by the Holy Spirit. So, if I don't get anything else across today, the thing I would like to get across to us is this. We are a called people. We are a chosen people. We are a people that can lay hold of the promises of God. He has set before us a land flowing with milk and honey. He has set before us the yes and amen. But there's a time that we walk through wildernesses. We walk through barren places. We go through trial and we go through tribulation. And sometimes we can cry out to the Lord and say, why? Why have you not heard me? But God has heard you. And you're going through your apprenticeship. Because if you want to come out the other side with character and credibility, then sufferings and persecutions are going to come. Because God wants to shape us into His image. He wants to give us the gifts that we have, so that when we have peace in our lives, it's the peace that comes through God. That peace that transcends all understanding is how the Bible puts it. It's not just us hiding away in a place of quiet, but an inner peace. When we talk about the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's one of the main scriptures I held on to throughout my
apprenticeship, and I'm still on that apprenticeship because God has given me a coat to wear and I haven't grown into it yet. So the joy of the Lord is my strength, and it's an inner joy, and that joy has been produced in me through trial and tribulation, as it did with David, as it did with Joseph. And Joseph was given the gift of compassion when he looked at his brothers. Because of the life that he led, he didn't have a heart of bitterness. He had a heart full of compassion. So God increases our gifts as we call upon him. And for us as a church, and for you as a people, you know, when Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, he wants to prune us. And there's times in our lives that we are going to be pruned and it's going to hurt. But the reason for the pruning is for the fruit. Because you know yourself, if you have a tree, if you have a fruit tree, and you prune the fruit tree in the right place at the right time, you get rid of the dead wood, that there will be more fruit. And that's what God wants for me, and that's what he wants for you, and that's what he wants for anybody else who listens to this message. He wants us to be fruitful, but in the character and the credibility that we should be standing in. It's like, put your hand up if you know that I'm a lousy person at directions. That's the church. Everybody's put their hand up. It's a bit like me saying, next Saturday, I am going to do a course on map reading. It has no credibility whatsoever, does it? It's like a bald man trying to sell you hair restorer. It's just got no credibility. So why does God want to prune us? Because he wants to give us character. Why does he want to give us character? Because he wants to give us credibility. Why do we need to have credibility? Because we have a message that has not changed for the last 2,000 years. That's to go out into the kingdom and share the good news. But we need to be people who have received the good news in order to give the good news. Because so often, you know, Christians and non-Christians alike, when they look at the church, they see the church as bad news. But hey, we're good news. We're light and we're salt. We're good news. But the truth is, for us, in this church at this moment in time, we are the gifts of God. We have everything we need to fulfill the commission that God, the journey that God has placed us on. In this room are the gifts that God wants to use. It's good for us to pray for other gifts and other ministries to come in, but within this room now are the gifts that God wants to build a foundation with. He wants us as Grace Community Church to grow on the gifts that he's already given. But the truth is this, I'd be lying if I didn't say to you that you're going to be pruned. You're going to be cut back. There's times we're going to say no. There's times where we're going to look for character, where we're going to look for compassion, where we're going to look for credibility. Let's be a church that walks around with a towel strapped to our waist, that we are a people that will serve. Let's be a people that will seek the peace of God, the peace that transcends all understanding, not the peace that's flaky. Let's be a church that will walk in the joy of the Lord, and the long suffering, you know, we will be able to walk through that. The patience and the perseverance, we'll be able to develop our gifts through the patient times, through the waiting. Let's be a church that will take the word that God has given to us and we'll touch the world. Let's touch our communities. You know, it's not about us meeting here and just receiving for ourselves. It's about what we get, we want to give. It's like our finances. Finances are not there just to receive. As we receive, we want to give. So the more we have, the more we can give. And it's the same with our lives. The more character God sees in your life, the more he wants to give you. The more credibility you have, the more he wants to give you. The more heart, the more passion you have, the more he wants to give you. You know, we serve a God that's a yes and amen. And as we travel over into this land flowing with milk and honey, because that's the promises of God, it's why it's so important to read the Word of God. Because the Word is active and living. I rung Andrew up this week and we were sharing certain things over the phone, and he said, you know what, it's so exciting because we are growing. And not just numerically, we are growing numerically, but more importantly, we are growing as a family. We are learning how to get on with each other's irritations. Because that's what families do. We argue sometimes. We disagree sometimes. We don't agree with what the brother or the sister or the child is doing. But as a family, we are growing. God is doing something awesome in us. So lay hold of his word. And if you're like me and you struggle with reading at times, come and see me and I will give you the Old Testament and the New Testament on DVD, on CD, sorry. And you can borrow it and you will be challenged and you won't be able to put it down. at the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. It has to be in to come out. You need to know the Word of God to speak the Word of God. You need to be able to speak the Word of God and stand on the Word of God. Let's be a church that's not afraid of character building. We're not afraid of walking through tough times. We acknowledge that God is going to prune us. We acknowledge that we are on a journey. You know, as Pastor Alan would have said, you know, we're on a journey together. We're going the same way. We're pulling in the same direction. Let's be a church that don't look to the right or to the left, but we look at what God is doing. We look at what God is saying to us and through us. And let's be a church that will share the good news of this message that we have received with those around us, that we can be credible, that we can have character and we can have fruit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity of sharing your goodness and your grace and your mercy. And Lord, my prayer for us as Grace Community Church is that you would take all of us on this apprenticeship, that you would produce character within each one of us, that you would produce credibility within each one of us, that Lord, we would manifest your fruit. We would manifest your goodness. We would see your glory. We would see the world changed. And you know, within this message of mine, as we bow our heads, I have got to ask, if there's anybody who does not know this Jesus that I'm talking about, and you're fed up with living your life your way, and you want to give God the opportunity to produce character in you, then you raise your hand. There's no embarrassment. You raise your hand, I'll pray with you afterwards. We're not a church that's worried about numbers. We want to see the fruit of the Spirit manifest in your life. So if you want to receive Jesus as a gift, then you raise your hand now. Father God, bless each one of us. Fill us to overflowing, that we may be an instrument of your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.